Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, where we talk industrial all the time, where we celebrate you all the time because you are a professional. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you're changing the world, you innovate, you do everything to make my life better. And that's why we celebrate you here on the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates you. It's all about you. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you because you are changing lives and you are changing the world. Let's get going. We got a great interview. Digital Twin is on the subject today. So let's get going. There is so much out there now. So much innovative technology. So much emerging stuff. For me, because I am the butter knife in the drawer, I'm not the sharpest thing out there, I am just dazzled by the amount of innovation that exists out there. And all this innovation is all focused on, it's definitely not focused on, hey, it's going to make you more or less efficient. No, it's going to make you more efficient. It's just going to make you a better company. And it's not just technology when it comes to, you know, things. It's technology and innovation that stretches all the way across your organization. All right. So with that said, how do you protect your company from being commoditized? And when I say commoditized, I mean, if I had a nickel every time I talk about IoT and device and edge and cloud and industry 4.0 and companies being in that, how are you and your message getting through that clutter? That red water, you know, situation where everybody's vying for a little piece of the market. How are you competing against the market leaders? What is that messaging about? Because I'm always fascinated by how you can be noticed in this challenging time. If you're not an industry leader, like, it's easy for me to get noticed because, well, there's really nobody else out there that's doing this. So it's like, hey, there's Scott. He, you know, it is what it is. He gets noticed. But when we start talking about in the world of services and solutions, providing those services and solutions to satisfy customers' problems, it's tough, especially now when we all talk about emerging technologies, IoT, IIoT, and all the solutions. I'm just throwing it out there. How do you prevent your service, your solution from being commoditized? And when I say commoditized, I mean, I was in the industrial maintenance area, right? That's what I did. I had a company that did a lot of deep water stuff, terminaling, heavy equipment, and staff augmentation. And the reality is, if I did not innovate, if I did not create the relationships of know, like, trust, and a friendship, and invest, and I mean invest a lot of energy into that, it would be challenging because everybody's looking for the least expensive ditch digger or the least expensive heavy equipment operator. They're always looking for that in a commoditized environment. So you've got to innovate. You've got to figure out how your services and solutions are innovative that really solve problems and create that know, like, and trust. That is my spiel, my monologue on how industry and what you've got to do to sort of, get past that commoditization. By the way, this is all out on the Industrial Academy. This is just a snippet. I've got sales, marketing, and branding stuff out there. I highlight great professionals who are in the IoT space, who are in the reliability space, who are in the leadership space. Anyway, check it out. It's out on industrialtalk.com. Easy peasy. All right, on to the interview. Sandra DiMatteo is on the interview docket today. And we are talking about digital twins. She is with Bentley. And I'll just share something with you. I've had the opportunity to go to a couple of conferences where Sandra, where I met her and what she was demonstrating from a digital twin perspective, the technology that exists out there, specifically, Bentley's ability to be able to do that. I'm telling you right now, it's an incredible, incredible solution. And there's so much more that could be done. And that's what makes the future so exciting. Even in this world of COVID, technology, innovation will just continue to sort of propel us to prosperity and solutions if we know what to do and if we know who to connect with. Sandra is definitely, with Bentley, is definitely one that you need to connect with. And as you know, at the end of this particular podcast, we're going to give you all the information that you need to get a hold of Sandra and other team members within Bentley to answer your digital twin questions, because that is so cool. So with that said, here's Sandra talking digital twin. Enjoy. All right, Sandra, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am so glad that we went down memory lane in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Go Ticats. Thank you for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. How are you doing?
Oski-wee-wee, I am doing great. You have to be from Hamilton.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just sort of threw that out. What was that?
That is the Tiger Cat mantras. That you got to know the whole song. Oski-wee-wee, Oski-wawa, Holy Mackinac, Ticats, eat them raw.
Woo! I love it. Doggone it, I got the chills. Oh, I love that. All right. Now that we went down memory lane real quick, and I do not know that song, but I do follow them when they're on, so FYI. Give us a little background on who Sandra is, why you're such an incredible professional, and then we're going to get into the topic of Chief Change Officer and why that's important, or some strategies around it.
Yeah, well, I'm Sandra DiMatteo. I'm the Director of Marketing for Digital Twin Solutions at Bentley Systems. My background, education, accounting, but I've been working in the high-tech sector for my whole career, really back in the days of EAM software technology, and talk about change. We helped change that industry to focus not on accounting, but instead managing asset performance and reliability. So that's really, has been my experience. And now working with Bentley, really, we're the digital twin company, but we're supporting people and processes, right?
Right. Now, for the listeners out there, give us just a quick little definition of what digital twin is.
So digital twin is it's a digital representation of your physical asset, right? Yes. And with as well the underlying engineering information, right? So it's really a digital twin is bringing all the information together in a way that's supporting people and processes to help collaborate, supporting collaboration really across that whole life cycle of an asset.
That is a great dovetail into the real topic that we want to talk about, because digital twin and the for companies to begin to embrace that technology and have it, especially today when we are talking about this virus environment, this virus market, companies that had a digital twin representation probably fared a little bit differently than the ones that were a little behind the eight ball when it comes to the digitization of their business. That's just my point. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, absolutely. In this time of the pandemic, we saw it all. And really our sort of mantra during this has been Bentley's got your back, because if you haven't gone digital, you're going digital now, right?
Yeah.
Technology, related, it's technology is helping to change the way we work, right? I mean, we have to work, we have to pivot to digital now, and technology is helping to drive that change.
So let's talk a little bit about that. The topic and subject matter that I'm pretty interested in is there's a conversation around a chief change agent. We, without a doubt, the elephant in the room, we're going through change. It is a, it's a 2x4 hitting you up aside the head, or it might be something a little lighter than that, but we are in the world of change. And let's talk a little bit about change management and what you know about change management and companies that are like, I know I need to change. Help me. That type of
thing. Yeah. So, I mean, my background, the way, I mean, I learned about change was related to sustaining reliability. So I'm in, you know, in the industrial world, sustaining equipment reliability on production equipment. I mean, that was worth literally millions if we get that right. And that required, so I learned about this technology solution that from these masters at, in my hometown, actually, ArcelorMittal Dofasco, Gino Palarchio, Ron Thomas, they now retired, but they created this thing called WRSR, World-Class Equipment Reliability. It was a process.
Say that again.
It was practices.
Say that again.
WRSR was kind of their acronym. Ah. So it was World-Class Equipment Reliability. And it was essentially a process at the core. And really that's what this is all about, right? Is when you talk about changes, are you managing, are you controlling the process? Do you have a methodology? Are you helping the people? You know, again, the change aspect. And then technology. People always think about the three-legged stool, right? So people, process, technology. What Gino and Tom used to do, Ron Thomas, was they used a planetary gear system as the analogy. This is a technical audience, right? So if you think of the three main gears.
It is now. Right? Let's put it that way. You're going to have to learn, you listeners. Listen to the champ here. There you go.
So people, process, technology, the three main gears, right? But in a planetary gear system, you've got this outer ring and you got this middle cog. So this outer ring, I think we realized that it was super important to have proactive management to help support and drive change. But that middle, I think now, after, you know, knowing John Fortin, who we're going to talk about, yeah, right, you know, the book on execution and this whole Delta Force model, and that change, the idea of a change officer and that person driving change is that middle cog of the planetary gear system.
But here's the reality, you know, Sandra, we don't like change. We don't like it. I mean, I let's say pre-virus, a lot of people would be saying, no. But it's sort of interesting the way conditions are today. You better begin to embrace change because and figure out how to navigate through the processes on getting through to the other, whatever the world looks like in the future. I don't have that
happen. And there's no option. There's no option, right? We're moving forward. We're making the change. And then it becomes about accountability and KPIs, right? You put the key performance indicators in, change. I know John Fortin, in his book, he talks about what we need to do, training people, competency development, right? When you look at that force, it's, you know, are we following through? Do we have the right organization in place? You know, and driving that change. But there's, you know, it's about accountability and putting in all those things in place to drive that change. So it's not an option, right?
And you
it's
know what's not interesting? An option. I think that there was a level of, and it's not a slap on anybody. Don't call me up and say, Scott, that was a slap. And it's not about you. It's I believe pre-virus, we tended to be lazy. The economy was moving and things, and we could get away with being certain soft and lazy on some things. And I think post-virus, whatever that looks like, I think you don't have the luxury of being lazy. You don't have the luxury of just sort of lollygagging. And I think your point of education, especially now in the world of change management, if you want to change and truly change, you've got to have that education in place and constantly being, you know, hammered with it. Like, you got to learn, you got to learn and keep reinforcing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's really methodologies, you know, like the ones like John Fortune has in his book, you know, Why Execution Fails and What We Can Do About It, is that, you know, you need to have a business case documented. You know, you have to show me the money, right?
Yeah.
So to get buy-in from executives, you know, you need to have this business case. You know, there's no silver bullet, right? There's, you know, it's about this diligence.
Yeah, but you know, people are looking for that silver bullet. The pain is real high. I'm looking for a silver bullet to get me across the finish line, whatever it is. But you're right. You better have some stamina when it comes to this game and be diligent. And I like that. I like that point. And I'm writing it down on my notes just because it's
so. And like you said, post COVID, that it's all coming to light, right? if you didn't have the technology in place to help you pivot to digital, you're going to move now. Right. So there's no doubt about it. That we have to have all of those things together.
And you have to. And even with the companies that are looking at it from a cash perspective, cash flow problem, because, well, they've been shut down, you're going to have to figure out how to finance and get and move that company forward through digitization, and then be able to have in place the right change management mindset, right? It's a people problem, right? Yeah. And when you have a people problem, you have to have the processes and the change management strategies in place. So yeah, with that said, you're going to help us out. What do you recommend?
Well, I mean, first, we talked about digital, you know, maturity. I mean, that's definitely an important part here in that change management techniques. They're very closely tied today in this world of adoption of technology. So to drive that new way of working, you know, it goes hand in hand. You know, you may need some help along the way to do that. And there are, you know, people like John Fortin and companies that can help, you know, but it's in your own company, it's about getting the sponsorship from executives, you know, I once thought about, it's tension for change, right? How do you talk about COVID-19, right? I mean, that is tension for change, right? At its highest, in the highest sense, right? Sometimes in our word with reliability, it takes an accident. Well, here you go.
I like that tension for change, and boy, do we have it, because I'm of the position that, one, to your point, you need to begin looking at all aspects of your business, without a doubt. When you start looking at all aspects of your business, not just from a human capital point of view, the talent and the training and having the right organization, but the technologies that help facilitate success and having the right people around that, and all of that is that's big change. And that creates a lot of tension. And I would imagine there's a lot of companies out there saying, I have this 5-alarm fire here, and I got this 5-alarm fire here. I got this 5-alarm. Everything's a 5-alarm fire. We've got to have a sense of urgency, but you also have to be able to take a step back and really do it right as well. Or you're right. Not going to succeed at that change.
Right. As a change leader, it's changing the mentality. So stop rewarding those firefighting activities and move the model to proactive. Start rewarding and recognizing those proactive behaviors instead of, you know, rewarding those reactive behaviors.
How do we do that in this COVID world? Because if as a business owner, I definitely know my challenges, and it's hard not to, be very reactive, because I don't know what the future holds, and I'm just sort of trying to navigate through this. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think no matter what, I mean, someone I knew at a great leader at Scottish Power, he's now retired, Martin Sedgwick, he used to tell me two things. One, strong responses to weak signals, and never be complacent. Right? Yeah. So that, those two things from a change perspective is, as a change leader, you're always there. At the C level, your CEO, they're great. They're driving change, and we need them to buy in and support, but they're not the ones who are going to execute, right? Where things fail is in execution. If anything that John Fortune has taught me, and I've known him for a long time, it's that, and that's why he wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
In his, Why Execution Fails and What to Do About It, right? Is that when, if you're not executing, right, that's where things fail. So no matter how much support you get, so it's that those people who are in the change management roles to constantly have that focus on the people and moving things along. So in the digital world, post COVID, that's just even more challenging. I don't know about you, but I'm in more meetings now than I've ever been, because it's about communication, collaboration. Yeah. You have to do it.
Somebody was telling me about when we start talking about meetings, there's a spatial, component to meetings and interacting with people. So you and I, through this Zoom communication tool, spatially, we're perfectly set up, and so we can have this conversation. Now, if you took it and you rolled way back into your room, it would be different. But because of that, I just see there's a double-edged sword here, but I see a positive that happens, and that's all a part of change as well. You better, that one's drinking from a fire hose too. You better learn how to get digital fast and virtual fast.
I honestly think we're more productive now in some ways than ever before.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're at home, we're, number one, avoiding that commute, and you've got more time and focus. Yes, we're missing those water cooler discussions, which sometimes the best ideas come from. So time will tell. But we're doing more of this, where we're having the video chats online, so you still can get the face to face time with people.
I think, when we start talking about change management, I think it all just gears down to the human element, the opportunity to talk. And really, from my perspective, putting your pride aside and recognizing that people have valid input, and being able to embrace that and go with that. And everybody's like, yes, that's what we need to do. Because I think the sense of urgency that we all are feeling globally brings about that willingness to say, okay, I hear you, let's figure that, and a desire to move forward. I think change, although it has to happen, I think there's a greater willingness to change now.
Which is a good thing, right? And change, from the world that I live in terms of, asset performance management in the industrial world, when you're changing the way you're managing your equipment and preventing them from failing, it's worth millions of dollars a year, on the bottom line. So this change is necessary, and it's so valuable that, hopefully now we're going to see more of that happening.
And I think
it has
will.
To be.
It has to. And I think that because of the situation, I just see it happening, because people are going to say, the argument had always been with reliability, right? It's always been culture, right? Why did your reliability programs fail? Well, because we had somebody fly in and they changed, and then it died. And it was just sort of a lukewarm. Some companies succeeded, some companies didn't succeed as well. And that's why John's book talking about that, like the the success rate is just staggeringly low when it comes to these initiatives. I find that people are more inclined to saying, I see the value now of being able to manage my assets, keeping my assets up and running in an efficient way, and then be able to proactively figure out solutions to keep it up and running. I think it's a good thing for the reliability community.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think John quotes like it's about 70% of projects fail, which is unbelievable. Yeah.
That's
and
money,
why,
baby.
Right?
Yeah.
That's money.
Money, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're seeing in the oil and gas industry, and not only this, you know, with COVID, but the price of oil dropping, you know, in a downturn, it's those efficiencies. So how are we going to survive? How are we going to keep operating if you're not the most efficient that you can be? And so, you know, I mean, it's about digitalization and ensuring every penny is saved.
I saw a cartoon. Industry specific cartoon, and the people that showed people sitting in a conference room in a building off to on a corner, right? And then they're talking about, well, we've got a 3 to 5 year target to start to look at some digitization of our industry. And then here comes this big old wrecking ball that had COVID on it, comes flying on in, you know. It's like, yeah, that. But you bring up an interesting challenge with oil and gas. Those assets have to run. There's no luxury of saying, hey, don't worry about that cracker. We don't have to run it today, and then just shut it off. And then, oh, tomorrow we'll run it and cycle them back. You can't do that. You have to have those assets running and running efficiently. And that's a whole other challenge.
Yeah, and doing it with less people. I mean, you think platforms doing more remote monitoring. Yeah. They've got their big goals that they have to comply with carbon, you know, net carbon zero. And, you know, and so, you know, all of that comes together that you have to change, right? And you need digitalization really as... From my perspective, that's so key today. As we go more and more of the equipment has sensors and technology, you know, IoT and artificial intelligence, machine learning, that's all going to replace a lot of manual effort. But still, then, right, you need these systems of systems to manage overall.
You do, and it's different. I always look at technology as it enables the mundane, right? That me as a human being, I don't have to go out there and I don't have to take that check. And I get away from the mundane and I focus on what is truly of value for the organization. So when we start talking about digitization, it just makes you more efficient. It makes my decisions as a human more efficient. And that benefits everybody and bottom line value. So, and the cost point of many of these enabling technologies is not that bad. I mean, you could get these devices and you could get it out at the edge. You could get the cloud. I mean, all of a sudden the cloud is like, ooh, hey, we're at the cloud. It's not a big deal. It's like one day it was a problem. Today is not a problem. I don't ask me why, but that looked like a switch.
Well, but, that is true, right? I mean, we work with Microsoft and the Azure, you know, cloud platform is more secure than anything, but, you know, it's in the connections perhaps, but that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. But really what it came down to, you know, you said it was helping me, the human. So it still comes back to this topic today, which is about people and changing. Right.
And being able, the people, the change, the culture, and everything that's associated with change management, it is upfront, in your face, and it is now. It is, in fact, it's yesterday. So you're behind. If you think it's now, it's behind us now because we have to, and we have to do it. And you know what? The other part I like about all this, that I don't like people losing jobs, and I mean the pain is the pain. But it's there is a greater willingness to fail. Like, I'll try it. I didn't succeed. but I tried. And it's a interesting mindset. Beforehand, you failed. Well, that's bad. Bad, bad, bad. Now it's like, hey, I tried.
Yeah.
And I learned.
That's interesting. I'm reading a book right now. Actually, everyone on our sales team is reading Extreme Ownership. And it's the Navy SEALs book on just that. It's like the leader has to take absolute ownership of everything that's going on and take responsibility for failure, right? Who failed? Well, it's the leader. If anyone's failed, it's the leader taking complete responsibility and improving from there. It's okay to fail.
It is. You have to fail. If we would have made it to the moon if we didn't fail, right?
Some
of the most incredible innovations came through, you know, failure. Look at the light bulb, you know? He failed, what, 100,000 times to get one light bulb? Okay. That's tough. What was the name of that book?
Extreme Ownership.
Ownership, okay.
But, you know, you think about it, every decade, there's just like a book. I know back the 90s, it was Leading Change, and then there were, you know, just several others. But you know, maybe today that sort of mother of all books on managing change in that terms of execution, I really do like this Delta Force model that John Fortin has in his book, you know, on why execution fails and what to do about it. Because in the end, right, it's like they say, culture beats strategy, right? Eat strategy for lunch, I think it is, right?
Yeah. I'm always attracted to things that are extreme. I tend to be extreme. And whenever I see it in a title, it's like, yeah, that's for me. You know, extreme cooking. Yeah, that's for me, right? So I like that a lot. Okay, we're running out of time. Now, your LinkedIn stat card is pretty incredible. Are you active on LinkedIn?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Because that's importante.
Yes, because definitely.
If people want to get a hold of you, most definitely, they can. I'm on LinkedIn there
every day. I'm just posting yesterday we just joined the Digital Twin Consortium, which is, you know, we're pushing the whole, you know, Digital Twins has got a lot of hype, but really it's, you know, it's not that out there, you know. So we've joined this consortium to help move it along and help every industry in adopting technology to help in changing the way they're doing business so that they're
managing. Is that through the Industrial Internet Consortium? They're creating the digital.
It's an offset of that. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we've had that conversation. I like digital twin. I'm glad I'm not a digital twin because two uglies don't equal, that's not a good thing. But here we are. That's a joke. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll be here till Friday. Anyway, her name is Sandra DiMatteo. That's DiMatteo. Come on. Did I get it close?
You had the Italian pronunciation.
All
love
right,
it.
There you go. DiMatteo. Bentley is the company. We talked a lot about change management, you listeners out there. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to embrace that. If change looked like me, you still have to give me a hug, even though I'm ugly. You're going to have to change it and do it. All right. Sandra, you are wonderful. I'm sorry I had to cut it. I mean, we can't talk forever. We could, but we can't. Go talk.
Let's do it again sometime, Scott. Thank you so much for this time. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Go Ticats. And here's LSU Tigers, and it looks like the Ticat, see? It's a tiger.
Woohoo.
Yeah, that's right, baby. All right, listeners, you stay tight. We're going to be wrapping it up on the other side, so don't go away. And I know when you go away, so don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, thank you very much again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe. I have nothing to ping it off way out there beyond the galaxy, but I'm just saying we are. Anyway, Sandra DiMatteo with Bentley, digital twin is the solution out there. The future is incredibly bright. The leadership at Bentley, Sandra and company, are incredible, that they're just constantly just pushing the envelope. Find out more. You gotta do the education stuff. You gotta continue to feed yourself. Technology, innovation, collaboration, all of this stuff. You gotta educate and you gotta do it, and you gotta do it efficiently, because speed is everything. You can never get your time back. And right now, we need you. We need you, industry. We need you, manufacturing, each and every day. Thank you. Thank you to Sandra. Thank you to the team Bentley. Fantastic job. Keep up the great work. Now, you're going to get all the information of Sandra. Go out to industrialtalk.com. That's industrialtalk.com. Find her interview. You'll find her connections. Reach out to her. She is an absolute pro. And then finally, go out and find out a little bit about the Industrial Academy, where we provide, insights into what's happening. So take care. Be bold. Be brave. Thank you. Take care.